Okay, so we're here again with Jake. We're just carrying on from the discussion we've just had with Kevin about the architecture world, and we've just talked about the idea of the architecture world being maybe a caught in its own little world of a bubble, and then reactions against that, and perhaps the art world is moving in certain directions. So, Jake, could you just fill us in?
I mean, I've been reading a bit about relational aesthetics recently. I can't remember the name again. Nicolas Bouriand, I think. And I was kind of just talking in relation to the French Pavilion, which I kind of saw that it seemed to be more comfortable in the art world almost, as in the topics and the areas that they're covering are being covered and discussed within the art world more than the architecture world, perhaps. Mm. And so, I mean, yeah, why that is a tough thing to comprehend, I suppose, or not comprehend, but to work a way around to bring architecture into a more kind of relational works. Yeah. As in, there are so many artists working out there within communities, maybe not doing the best job, but at least coming from a certain philosophy of interaction, participation, and kind of, I guess, towards some kind of, well, not social revolution anymore. It seems to have gone away from that, from, you know, since the situationists and Dada, away from the revolution, just more to just, you know, interaction.
Just like
just the French Brazilian, yeah, having dinner, making contacts, having friends.
And emphasis off the built form, and emphasis on the you know, the life within the built form, but just not having to concentrate on it, which I think is really kind of inspirational.
Which I see is kind of going away from, in art, you know, I mean, I've got my little, to kind of understand that, I put it in simple categories, almost going from, you know, going from the object and then, you know, the observation of the object, so kind of like a revelation almost, which is looking at something and then you are comprehending it, and so it's kind of like an outer body, some kind of link to something else, then going through to like the revolution, which was, you know, pushing for change in society, really, really hard situationists, you know, 68 riots and you know, even Dada kind of trying to kill the object, almost get the idea away from, you know, from just observing a thing and for its own beauty or so on. And then, yeah, now slowly moving into kind of relations as maybe like a softened version of revolution, to try and kind of include more, I suppose, because the problem with revolution is there's a reaction to it, and maybe
is this then like it's a lot more local, it's demonstrating a way that it could be for more just by doing it themselves, just in their immediate space and just doing it,
rather than rather than some kind of mass revolution, then a revolution from, you know, shouting quietly.
But I think it's interesting as well what it kind of points out in this kind of world, what does the architecture become? Merely kind of almost just like shelter, because the you know, the actions in within it are of much more value. So it almost undermines the role of the architect in a way of not, you know, an architect, you know, doesn't, you don't need an architect to create that. You need, you know, and there's, I think there's a guy here, isn't there, a carpenter who kind of like, it's there's that book Architecture about architects, and he's literally just like built his place out of kind of timber and stuff. But I think that's really interesting, kind of like, you know, what is the role of architecture in the context of the French Pavilion then?
Yeah. Well, let's take it then to say the lady was saying, maybe the normal person or Alto was going to meet the little man in the street. Yeah. But just Jimmy who's out there working away, you know, the normal life stuff that everyone's going through, whatever. How able is he if he comes across something? If he's sort of going, what's that?
Jimmy.
Just someone who's on the street who's just moving through, who just sees something. How able are they to, first of all, approach it, second of all, participate in it, and third of all, get involved? And with that whatever it was that they saw in the first place has changed because they've input it.
I mean, again, it's down to human relations, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's down to, I mean, this pavilion here, the French Pavilion that we're sat in now, relies quite a lot on their hospitality. So, for instance, part of their philosophy is that you know, you can come in you know, and if you give something, donate something, or help them in any way, or give money, you know, then you can partake in it.
Yeah.
But then outside of the context of this, and it's still within this context, it relies on them accepting you in and making you feel welcome, yeah, or making you feel at home, which you know, they're only human and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Mm.
And I suppose, I think, within the realm of art, or you know, then there is that discipline where you're keeping focus to kind of to accept people in.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't know, yeah, when it goes outside of the realm of art, how it's continued.
But it's still interesting, like that, like we're here at a, you know, at a, art stroke architectural thing in within the walls of a pay-in exhibition.
Mm.
So, like, if this was to happen on the streets, the French article up on the wall, un autre lieu est possible, like another space is possible. But it's saying, like, is this a squat? You know, like, there are places that maybe this is coming from a language which is actually on the streets, and it is about, like, it's not seeing itself as an art or an architectural project or something like that. It's a real situation. It's like people dying in streets, making spaces, taking buildings, working together, food.
It does happen anyway, you know, like cafe culture in Italy, family culture, villages getting together and having fates, you know, all these events have always existed, I suppose. And then
true, they have existed, but what we were talking about earlier on about the way that this world is moving into cities, hence the Biennale choosing the theme cities, and with those, like, you know, like if you see shanty towns in Mumbai or places like that, or Mexico, you know, like there's people are following an idea. And what the situation they end up in has a lot of people really stuck at with some massive problems for cities and for society,
and
in terms of drain on resources. But then it's, what can people do, and are people in any way in a position to get involved, or to demand, or to do?
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose in this pavilion, in more of an art context, is to kind of provoke some kind of discussion or some kind of focus on the build. So there are, there's one in the British pavilion. I don't know how successful it is, but it's called Close Encounters, where these artists set up a shop and then people come in from the, you know, from the local area, and then they kind of discuss and talk about, you know, what they want with their community, and slowly, I guess the idea is to either empower them or to make them think about their spaces, and therefore change them through that, I suppose, as people start to consider their role within the environment. So some kind of activating piece, which seems like a good.
Okay. And maybe just to finish up in terms of it's like we've talked a lot about here about processes and different sorts of worlds, but I'm still wondering about how inclusive this Biennale or this architecture world is, and can there be improvements made to further, like, to allow for communication from all parties, especially as the issues that we're raising about cities. Is it possible to do that? Like, or what can things be improved on that, on the communication angle?
I think it's still quite a closed circle, because I don't see, you know, it's kind of like I said to you after the first couple of weeks, this place is pretty much dead.
Yeah.
There's not enough kind of jimmies coming along, if you so like, and maybe it's, you know, it's the way it's put across, the way it's communicated, at all levels, really, not just at a high intellect level, because I don't think cities are an intellectual problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's I just think they're a practical problem.
Yeah, and they're there.
So I don't know why, but not many people are that interested. Across the board of spectrum of types of people, not just architects and artists.
Well, I think it's the way that architecture has presented itself over the years, and people have an idea of architecture, which, you know, in our previous discussion about, you know, our practices changing away from the object, and I think people have quite a traditional view of architecture,
mm-hmm.
in that, you know, it is the correct and masterful study of whatever in volumes in light, or, you know, or classical notions, and so.
But is that starting to change a little bit, or is it possible?
Well, I think it's changing within the profession a little bit, but then, you know, I don't know how widely communicated that is, or the discussion isn't pushed into the public realm enough, perhaps. Whereas the art discussion was pushed into the public realm a hell of a long time ago and really kicked off, and you know, I think now you get quite a lot of people walking into Tate Modern and looking at abstract paintings.
It's more of a cafe, I reckon, though, just hanging out there. But
or is it also because it is the, in brackets, are the, you know, the Tate Modern.
Yes.
It's like people come and they do the they're the things.
Well, how do you have that in architecture? Because we're not really exhibiting in architecture. You are, you know, you're making the real thing. People do go and look at architecture, but that's maybe part of the problem. You shouldn't go and look at it. You need to go and participate.
But the thing is, I was going to say on that other thing, I think the other problem as well is it's architecture is not an instant thing. So you could have come to the Biennale, what, a couple of years ago, whatever. You might not have looked at the exhibitions and nothing might not have happened on what the architects were saying, but because sometimes architecture can take up to, what, 5-10 years for things to happen. So I think it's very hard for people to see, other than these kind of just being ideas, how it's really going to impact their lives. So you were talking about someone like Jimmy. Jimmy just might want to come along and see something that, you know, when's this going to happen kind of thing. But it just might be... It might take so far down the line for it to impact everyone on all levels. Whereas we're kind of like, you know, architects always dream of utopias and things like that, but today it's more about, I don't know, think about realism. And then we go back to what we were saying about, I think, you know, this predictive urbanism that happens, so therefore everything just seems to be blending into one almost.
Okay.
Well, I don't know, I suppose it's been great now to get more views, and I think it's healthy that there's contrasting and conflicting views about it, because it's not an easy thing, you know. Like with this, just trying to record this is to try to bring the ideas further back to people at home in Ireland who can't get here, people outside the architecture world, and just them sort of going, what the hell are all these architects about, or what's the architecture stuff about?
Maybe people just don't care. I mean, maybe people just don't give a shit anymore that much, to the point that they want to contribute. I mean, it seems like, you know, the British Vision, like Jake was saying, it's in Cowart's thing, it's almost like, yeah, they're asking people to contribute, but I mean, I don't know if you've seen it or go and look at it, but I then question, what are they contributing? Because is it just kind of, how much do people really care? And do they think nothing will change? Because do they think that they can't see any change happening, therefore, I don't know, you know, it's an interesting one to think about.
Well, I think that's really the deepest level of all this, because it's when you get into, like, the, you know, the profoundness of life itself, and just boom, it's mad. And I think, personally, I think, you know, it's right to have ideas, but it's right to experiment, to try to make them happen.
Maybe part of the slightly, I don't know, waning interest in architecture is to do with the fact that, you know, previously architecture was to do with embodying power and wealth and so on, and so it was a very, I don't know, it was an impressive feat, and then kind of continued on through modernism to be, you know, trying to be the collective society, changing society and so on. And then now we're all kind of moving into individual realms of, you know, wanting to be individuals and difference and so on. Then maybe architecture is not the medium for us, and it has to kind of fragment and dissolve and disappear, and, you know, we can solve our, you know, sheltering needs elsewhere.
I think it's an even bigger debate, that idea of participation, because when you look at, I think, how people live in a lot of modern cities, it's about the individual, not about the crowd anymore. It's about, you know, you can compare a city, like, say, City of London, to, like, to an airport, because it's just a space that people pass through and don't necessarily, you know, spend time with the city itself. And that, you know, that can be for a lot of reasons, you know, technology, however you want to look at it. People seem to be, I think, you know, today it's the celebration of oneself, not of a collective thing such as, like, you know, a community within a city. And that might be to do with, if you look at how people live today, like myself, I probably will spend every year, I'll end up moving somewhere else, so I have no kind of sense of belonging to wherever I live, therefore I have no sense of, I don't really care as much as I would if what would be built or what would influence my community, because I'm always moving on. You know, I think my community is the one I hold in my pocket, my mobile phone, and that's I care more about if I lose that, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That maybe, architecture doesn't answer it for the individual.
It doesn't at all. And that's what I was saying earlier, that it's just about the realisation that there's more than just architecture that has to contribute to a city. And that, you know, when architects realise that, then, you know, maybe the participation for the general open might be more open. So maybe you would have architecture, not just only talk about architecture. You might have, you know, before we know, spaces could be designed by scenographers. They could engineers. What would it matter? It's like, you know, it's about the participation.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still think it's too much of a bubble. Personally,
critique of architecture, like, you know, we've got in the French Pavilion here, they've kind of taken over the structure and they've reinterpreted it and changed it, and maybe that's the way forward. Is that rather than constructing, you know, complete pieces, so you're constantly needing a practice of people, artists, whoever, and this is happening, you know, through artists taking over the East End of London and completely transforming the area, and they haven't really built anything. They've just bought a different lifestyle, different activities, and so on. And so they are more powerful in the regeneration of the East End than any architects ever been, you know. Mm. And so maybe, yeah, a practice of critique would be more, you know, subverting and so on. And so you could, yeah, start with an engineered structure and then, you know, hack away at it until the
But it's interesting, like going back to the individual and the city and the world. Like, I think one of the most powerful things is when somebody, when they do care, like, they care for themselves, they care about the, you know, they want to really have the best experience or the best life or whatever, but they're able to plug in, to participate, you know. And I think what this space about the French Pavilion is about, it's those individuals all of their different individual needs, concerns, blah blah blah, but that they just get stuck in and they're doing it, like they're living in this thing, but it's changing, and it's you know, someone needs to go and take a rest for a while, they do, someone needs to go cook and there's washing, blah 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 blah, but there's a reason for doing it, because they care about it means something. And I think, like, for me, I wonder about how many of all these individuals, how much they, to what level they care, and to what level that they can feel that they can really start to push that further, to you know, I don't know. Yeah.
But there's many different systems as well, isn't there, as in the economic, you know, being trapped in an economic system, because all these East End artists sort of transformed this area. They moved to the area because it was cheap, and then their way of living was such so they could invest time in their environment and in their practices.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, it's quite hard when now in London, you know, I can't afford, you know, I can hardly afford to live in London. I'm living kind of in a slightly alternative manner in London.
Mm.
But it's become so precious when it's so valuable, and you can't get in there and fiddle around with it.
But I do think that this is a bit nostalgic, this French way of looking at things. I think it's kind of like, okay, it's simplified the whole kind of, if you want to call it a problem, about how we live, into a very nice, exciting way. But then, you know, to take something that from that, which is quite like a micro kind of thing, and to chuck it into a macro system, is something, it's just not, I just think that, you know, on face value, it's really interesting.
This is more of an embodiment of a philosophy than an actual proposal for what we could do.
Yeah, but it's a really, so kind, it's a
prompt,
an enjoyable
prompt for thought.
Yeah,
it's an enjoy. Yeah, exactly. So
that's all it is, really, isn't it?
But I think it's been very successful with that. Though.
But that's possible. My point is there's a lot of prompt for thought around the Biennale, but you know, let's be honest, unless it's a good one, and everyone's sitting around the table in agreement. So it's how you take the thought and inject it in some way to change what's going on, because otherwise, you know, we wouldn't be sitting having this discussion if we thought everything was cool.
But maybe, as it says there, at the this exhibition is just, what's there, unshown in the Pavilion, happily the joyful city on show in the Pavilion really does exist here and elsewhere. This exhibition is just a pointer. So for that, I think it's like having lived in spaces with some of this collective before, like it is happening at more and more places, and then working outside those architecture-led projects to further spaces, like this, like for Barcelona, for example. There's hundreds of spaces that are opening up continually that are doing this. This is the reality. It's not architecture. It's not architects. Although some people might be architects involved. It's life. It's.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, in London, the I mean, what this reminds me of the most, you know, apart from all the philosophy I've learned over the years in school, is squats in London, really, and communes in West Wales, where I'm from, and I don't know, they're painted in a slightly different light, in a way, really, and it's they're kind of. In a way, through, although some of them might want to get out and interact with the community and stuff, it is quite such a sharp contrast in a way of living, in some communes in Wales, they've had to, as part of their ideology, they have to accept whatever happens, almost. So you get all kinds of different people coming in, and you have to accept them in, and so on. And then you have quite large drug problems, people within the squat kind of falling out, and all kinds of different problems going on. And somehow, I don't know, the way they haven't been on a. Haven't been accepted into the kind of the larger debate. They're not putting themselves out into and treating themselves professionally in a way, in the way that perhaps artists have. And these guys in the French Pavilion, obviously, are kind of, you know, look more professional and more serious about their ideologies than a lot of squats I've been to, where it seems they're more, a way of living for them rather than a prompt for. And the rest of society.
Well, I was going to ask you a question, actually. I mean, you said, like, you've seen these tough things in Barcelona, and you've lived in some of them. Was that right?
Only briefly, just moving through here. But I've worked with through a student architects group before, and we lived in a similar type of building to this, where it was scaffolding and textiles wrapped around and mutating spaces and all sorts of crazy life going on for a few weeks.
Well, I was just going to ask. Are they simply not just another version of, like, the gated community that's happening, or are they kind of really open for people to walk in?
I do that question that you've asked, that's what I'm asking, and so I'm pushing at those communities, because
that's so similar to my point, I think, in a way.
Because I absolutely agree, there are lots of them which have built those worlds, even with the best of intentions.
Mentally, exactly. Like, through lifestyle.
The idea of threshold is such an interesting thing, like how some people can just come to a space, a building, a garden, and they can just walk through, whereas other people go, something within them, they might not even be able to put words on it, but it doesn't feel right, and they don't go through.
And that does something again to my point earlier, where, you know, that saying that the French Pavilion is kind of subverting the order of architecture in a way, and opening it up, and in the same way that the British Pavilion wants you to go around the back of it to subvert this axial and its grand entrance, but then you end up replacing one order with the other order, which is me telling people you've got to go around the back. And that is just as offensive in a way as the architecture. And so you've got to be, you know, you can revolt against architecture and remove its order, but then if you're replacing it with, say, a threshold which is a cultural threshold, or rather than a physical threshold, can be equally or more intimidating, and so then it kind of architecture.
But the idea of those squats, centres, whatever, being intentional communities, like communes, and the walls that they put up. I am critical of lots of the architecture worlds, but also lots of the squat world, because I think a lot of them do, and a lot of them, not a lot of them, I think there is a philosophy behind it, for the most part, which is trying to subvert the order. And to build an alternative. But then it's okay. Well, how successful do you succeed, and how much do you carry on that to how far do you push yourself to really try to?
You building it for yourself.
Yeah.
And therefore, is it really changing society or not? You're just creating a space within which you can live your alternative.
Yeah. Exactly. But
not really prompting any change.
But it's not the case with all of them. I'd be critical of the ones that are more self-indulgent, we'll say. They, you know, take a space, go in, set up their zone, have their parties. If people, you know, who don't look like maybe a crust punk, for example.
Yeah, if you look straight, knock on the door and say, hey.
Yeah, how welcome are you made feel? And for me, there's clicks everywhere. And within those communities, there's huge clicks if you don't dress right, look right, talk the talk.
Exactly. There's more to just, that goes back to the other thing, like, if there's eight punks in the room and you walk in and you're dressed in a suit, you're not going to, no matter how welcoming they might make you feel, you're always going to feel a bit odd. So once again, that goes back to
goes back to the for example, like those situations have happened where, you know, I've mates who they're in suity type things and they'd arrive in a situation and they'd get that, oh, you're not cool looking, you know. But then, like, and this goes back to an individual being able to just deal with those situations because of a reality which has been interpreted wrongly because of the suit. Whereas, like, he'd be able to go, oh yeah, dear, oh yeah, sit down, and just having the crack with them, you know, because he might not dress because he just his life situation, you know. But anyway, but going back to the question you're asking. To those communities, I think there are a lot of them that have become spaces. A lot of them have actually have been spaces which were like abandoned, taken by people in the community. So it wasn't like people from outside coming in. Right. Like in Bilbao, for example, there's just some amazing spaces, and everybody participates. I was blown away by a place, Eric Aldi, the Gestache is the social centre in Basque, and Cucuta, but the area around it was amazing. There was just...
But you see, I think the attraction of a modern city is the absolute opposite. The fact you don't have to participate. It's like, I don't know, what's it, that book Richard Sennett, The Fall of the Public Man, goes on to basically say that, you know, actually I think it's Adrian Forty, who did a lecture called The Cities Without Qualities, basically says that, you know, basically everyone in a modern city is a stranger, but that's the beauty of it, that you don't feel any need to kind of have to kind of help someone out or talk to someone, you can just pass through it. So I think a lot of people
if that's your choice, and no problem if that's your choice, and many do. But for those like the reason that people, some people like those situations we were talking about earlier are trying to make them, or try to build them, or try to subvert the order that's pushing against that is because of is there a beautiful experience which can be had, and some people do enjoy coming together and making that reality, like what these people here are doing.
I totally agree, but I just think that at the moment that is just completely in the minority, whereas the majority is the I don't give a shit, basically, and I'm going to get on with my life, and that's the end of that.
With all it's good and bad things, because I think a lot of this is driven by the main order of the day, which is capitalism, which is driving this world at the moment.
But also habits. It's just because people aren't used to seeing this that they don't maybe think they should join this. So, you know, like,
you're not presented with the option to join this kind of thing in very, very often, do you? You know, like, it's not really within, you know.
I can't remember the Attilio Bowell. Have you ever heard of them? This is really interesting. They built this kind of really simple table on wheels, and they'd wheel it around the city, and they would stop, put it in the middle of kind of a square, set up a big dinner, and just invite people in. And straight away, by doing that, they, like, you know, some great videos, you should check them out. But, you know, they create this complete scene, and the architecture was this kind of little shelter, and there was pictures where it's raining, but people enjoying stuff, just random, it's off the street, just coming in.
These relational aesthetics
I mean, they're kind of interesting what they do, and that just shows how simple it can be. But you don't often see a lot of that.
True, but maybe there's more happening. Like maybe that this, like the very fact that we are in a Venice Biennale, and the fact that this exhibition, this French pavilion, as it's finished up there in its statement on wall, this is a pointer. Perhaps it's now getting to the point where this outside world is starting to push at from so many angles in so many spaces. It's now got to the point where the Biennale, this what was exclusive architecture world, has a nod has been given. Like my friend who was here, he left yesterday. He was just going, how can this happen? Like how can the French government, you know, allow this to happen? And like you know, what are they saying? What politically? What are they saying? You know, it's but they have, and there's all that other world that's going on with the French political situation at the moment. But for me, I like having come here as I was saying earlier on, like almost a view of confrontation, because I expected the normal architectural bullshit, and I come here and this is perhaps the first nod or the first pointer of something wider that's happening in the world.
But I mean, as we're becoming more prosperous as well in the UK or whatever, you know, now that we're starting to have a bit more material wealth, I think people are starting to get a bit tired of working so much to keep you know, ahead. There's no need to survive anymore almost, and some people are starting to go, hang on, you know, maybe it is nice to have a dinner in the street with all my neighbours, and you know, you want to hold back and not put all your energy into just producing, surviving.
But that would be the minority in the minority in the top bracket. But if you go down to Sao Paulo, for example,
who wouldn't enjoy a meal in the street, because it just breaks the norm. I mean, if you're walking home one day and that happens, and it kind of got you out of your own habit, then it's going to be well.
Village when I cycled here, it's like it looked like they're having a good time.
No, I'm saying it would be so. I just think it would be really welcoming, because I think you know, you just get into routine and regime. You just don't often see it. I don't.
Hackney, you do.
Anyway, listen, we better wrap up because we've been gone on a bit, but I suppose, like, at least for whatever reasons this has happened, we've had a conversation that's gone all over the place, but I think it's thrown up a lot of different sides of the arguments about architecture, art, the world. But that's the way things are, you know, there's no easy set way. But at least we have been able to have this discussion, because like this is a point where it's prompted that this discussion. And I would have the hope that this would ripple on into all aspects of the world, because for me, that it already is happening, and that it now, the architecture world is starting to realise, or it's being pointed to, that there is another world happening, growing, talking, doing, you know. So anyway, so thank you very much. If you I don't know where this will end up, but we'll try to build up further networks, etc., etc. So if you'd like any finishing thing just to wrap it all up.
I think I'm just going to say one thing. I think for me, architecture is just for weekends.
I don't think I have a statement to better that.
Okay, well, thank you very much.